I'm reading to you this morning from the book of 1 John chapter 5, the epistle of 1 John chapter 5, in which John the Apostle is writing to believers. He's writing to God's people. He's writing to those who are born of God. He's not writing to everyone without exception. He's writing to God's people, believers, those who are born of God, born of His Word, born of His Spirit, sons of God, daughters of God. All men are not, all women are not the children of God, are not God's people. But he is writing to God's people, and he says in verse 11, 1 John 5, this is the record. Or that is, this is what God has written, this is what God has recorded, that God hath given to us, speaking to God's true people, to believers, to those born of God. God hath given to us eternal life. Salvation is of the Lord. It's to be given life, and this life is in His Son, he said. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's to give. Life is God's to give. He doesn't offer life. He gives life. He imparts life. He creates life. We're born of God, born of His Word, born of His Spirit. It's a miracle. It's not something we do, but it's what God does. God gives eternal life. Your parents didn't offer you life. They gave you life. And so it is with God the Father. He gives life to whom He will. And it says, this life is in His Son, speaking of Jesus Christ. And verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 19 words, 19 one-syllable words, very plain, very simple, yet few understand it. Few have this life. He says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? Do you have this life? Do you know what this means? There are three basic forms of life. There's plant life, animal life, and then spiritual life. And they differ greatly one from another. Plant life is the lowest form, and then animal life, dogs, cats, horses, and so forth, have this animal life. And man has animal life, but he has no spiritual life, the life of God, until God creates that in him. Man is not much better than a beast if he doesn't know God, if he does not have this eternal life. And eternal not only means the duration of it, it never ends, but the quality of it. And it says here very plainly, he that hath the Son hath life. We hear, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We hear of people who are living the good life. And what others mean by that is they have all that this life can offer, all the material things, and have no financial worries, and they're at ease, and they're living the good life. Well, not if it all dies. If something dies, it's not life. And the scripture says, in Adam, all die, but not in Jesus Christ. Those in Jesus Christ have life. They never die. Do you know what that means? He that hath the Son hath life. Now, let me try, but it's God that must reveal. But let me try to just declare what this life is. Now, first of all, life, true life, was revealed by Jesus Christ. It says in, John said in 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. Life was revealed by Him. He is life. He is the God in whom we live and move and have our being. Life was revealed by Him. True life, spiritual life, revealed by Him. Let me give you some reasons, some illustrations. He had no home, no physical place to lay His head, no house He lived in, no earthly possessions, nothing but the shoes on His feet and the robe upon His back. These are the things that we think are living. all the things, material things in this life that we think is life and makes us happy. He had none of those things, yet he was truly happy, content, the blessed man of whom Psalm 1 speaks of. So, life is not in these things. He said that. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Because if you can lose them, you lose life. He said, life is more than meat, the body more than raiment. Scripture says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, things, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you know what that means? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, that all has to do with Jesus Christ. He revealed what true life is. He had no home, no possessions, but he was truly blessed, happy, content. He was not married, physically, humanly speaking, not married. He had no wife. He had no children. Oh, spiritually speaking, he is the great husband of his bride. He is the father of his children, which no man can number. But he had no earthly wife and no earthly children, yet he was not alone. He was never lonely. Scripture says it's not good that man should be alone. God made a helpmeet for Adam, and yet Christ came here alone, but was never alone. Why? The Father was always with him. He was with the Father. Life, spiritual life, the life of God. The Lord, as a man, ate very little, sometimes not at all. His disciples worried about him sometimes. They said, Lord, eat something. You haven't eaten something. And he said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He said, I am eating. I am feasting. On what? They didn't see him eat anything. He's feasting on the bread from heaven, the word of God, the truth of God. He slept very little, yet he had perfect rest. Perfect rest. He worked 12 hours a day. He said a man must. Well, there's 12 hours, he must work, yet never murmured, never complained. He was hated by nearly everyone, and yet he had perfect, undisturbed peace. Why? He knew the Father loved him. God loved him. So, Christ revealed this life is not in things, but it's to be alive unto God and dead to this world. Oh, I know men like Buddha and Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi and Mohammed pretended to have renounced this world, but no, they lived in it and they're liars, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. And this life, this spiritual life, is the life of God. It's a life of holiness. It's a life of love, mercy, peace. It's a life and a love for God, an affection set on things above it, peace, which passeth understanding, rest in God, joy unspeakable, full of glory. And now, what is it to have the Son? He that hath the Son hath eternal life. What is it to have the Son? Well, let me try to tell you. It's first of all to have a knowledge of the Son, to know who He is, to know Him, to know Him. Now, Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I might know Him. He meant more than just know about Him, to be acquainted with Him, to know something about Him, who He is. But it's to have an intimate understanding, acquaintance, to have Christ revealed to you and in you, to know who He is, and no one does. Our Lord said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. And John said here in 1 John 5, verse 20, he said, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given to us, given to His people, an understanding that we might know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. To have a knowledge of the Son, and we don't know Him till He reveals Himself. Christ came to this earth, And he walked along the Sea of Galilee one day, and there were many boats out there, many fishermen and many boats. And he chose two boats, the boat of Simon and Andrew, the boat of John and James. And he called them by his power, by his word. He chose them. He elected them. He called them. He revealed himself to them, who he was, why he came, and that they belonged to him from now on. In Matthew 16, the Lord asked this question to his disciples. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're this, and some say you're that." And he said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter, Simon Peter, spoke up on behalf of them and all of God's true people. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In another place he said, "We're sure that thou art the Christ, Son of God, that Christ, God was manifest in the flesh." Simon knew him. Simeon, there was an old man coming to the temple one day, and he saw a young woman with a babe in her arm, and he held that child in his arm. He said, "Now I have seen thy salvation." Thomas knew him. He said, "My Lord and my God." To have a knowledge of the Son is to have the Son. What is it to have the Son? It's to have a need for the Son. Like a hungry man needs bread, like a thirsty man needs water. Our Lord said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." What's that? Well, it's a person, not a thing, not a doctrine. It's Him, it's Christ. To have a need for the Son is like a guilty man who needs an advocate, like a child needs its mother, like a sheep needs a shepherd, like a sinner needs a Savior. Oh, it's to have a need for the Son. To have the Son is have faith in Him, hope in Him, and only Him. It's to believe Him, to trust Him, to come to Him, to cast all your care upon Him. To believe, to know that He's your prophet, your priest, your king, your Lord, your Messiah, your covenant head like Adam, your Savior, your everything, your righteousness, your lamb slain. To have the Son is to have a love for Him, a love for His person, to admire, to love His person, to want to be like Him. To love His sovereignty, to love His salvation, to love His work. To love His work on Calvary's tree. To love His word. Everything He said and did is to hang on it. Words of life. Not hard sayings, but salvation itself. To have the Son is to have life. Is to have Christ in you. Christ in you. It's to have Son of Man, the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord, your righteousness revealed not only to you, but in you. And you know from your heart that Christ is your only hope, your only salvation. Do you have the Son? Do you have the Son? Do you have a hunger for Him, a need for Him? Do you know who He is? Do you know why He came, what He did? Do you hang on Him? Do you? "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Oh, I pray, I hope, that through the preaching of His Word, He may reveal Himself to you and in you. Amen.